broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the radio show most interested in by the members of the National Association of Broadcasters Board. The guys there at the NAB love to subscribe to my podcast. Wait a minute. You mean the one that was bootlegged? Oh, well.
They're going to be mad at you. You're going to be doing it.
They're going to be mad at me if I'm doing it.
What are you talking about, man? When are you talking? If you're on the net, if you're going to be speaking.
I'm going to go to the NAB. Yeah, I'm kidding around, sort of. Anyway, welcome to our program. Yeah, we're going to be at the NAB. I'm going to see my long-lost brother from another large mother, Bubba the Love Sponge. B.J. O'Shea from Seattle is going to be there. All of the assembled technocracy of the broadcast business will be there. And they'll be asking for my autograph again. And I will say, how about putting me on your 50,000-watt number one station? And they'll go, well, you see. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, found out that our good friends and listeners in New York City have given our show a vote of confidence. We're doing very well in terms of audience share in New York City. And I know that we do well in Los Angeles. And now, of course, the challenge is everywhere else. Anyway, welcome to our program. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. By the way, that does lead us into our affiliate spotlight, which is tonight, WWRL in New York and the great people at WXNT in Indianapolis. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. And again, this is our first night without our erstwhile producer, Jason Rance. The best of luck to you, Jace, at his new gig there in Seattle as the assistant program director. In charge of all things that, you know, assistant program directors do. He's at Cairo, right? He's at Cairo, yes. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, you guys know that the large story, and I say large story, I didn't say the big story because it was very interesting over the weekend listening to the reporting on Hurricane Irene. It depended upon where you were. Don Berman from Channel 19 News is in New York tonight. We're going to be talking with him about the reporting of the events surrounding Hurricane Irene, as well as the weather system itself. It was one of the first, I think, hurricanes to threaten New York in quite some time. I'm sure there's a date someplace that we can pull up on that. But nonetheless, it was an enormous event. And yet, at the end of the day, or more like it, at the a.m., let's say Sunday morning, people were talking in New York as if nothing bad had happened. Don Berman joins us from New York City tonight. And, Don, thanks for being with us. You are a Los Angeles news anchor, but you do national reporting. You're in New York. What's the final story, but what would you say is in the immediate aftermath of this is the story?
Well, Phil, we are very grateful that the people of New York were spared the full brunt of this storm, and we're very grateful that what we feared would be a terrific calamity here in New York City was avoided. I think it can be said that this was a storm that fortunately did not pan out to be any big deal.
Now, all right, now can I ask you something?
I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me about the other states and the other cities, and this is the point that I'm trying to make to you, that the city of New York was spared. You asked me what is the final statement, the final exclamation point, the final tally on the story, and I would say to you that New York is safe. It was no big deal. And we're very, very fortunate that the great city of New York has been left untouched.
All right. Okay. And that was the thing that I wanted to talk to you about. The city of New York was spared, but other people, other states, other cities suffered greatly. There were fatalities. There was injury. There was property damage. So it wasn't all about New York.
All right. You asked me about New York.
Yes, I did.
And I told you about New York. Now you're asking me about the other cities and the other states, and my answer to you is the same, and I'll tell you why. My answer to you is that New York was spared. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because I think when we are living at a time that the economy is doing very poorly, and we want to know whether the commercial center of our nation is still functioning. We want to know whether the stock market is opened up.
And I understand that. I understand that.
Can I finish, please? Just
okay.
At a time when the commercial center, the commercial business of our country is suffering, we want to know whether the commercial center of this country is still viable and is working. And when I tell you that New York is doing well, that's what I'm saying. Now, give me your question again, because I'm not sure.
It's not so much a question as what about other people in other states? What about North Carolina? What about Virginia? There were fatalities, and it seems that there has been an emphasis on how well New York is doing.
Well, the reason why there's an emphasis on how well New York is doing is, and I'll go back to my original point, New York, and I'll be very honest with you as well. I have been in New York, and I was here for the better part of last week, as well as remaining here, because I have been in discussions with people at a couple of networks. I am very much considering moving my base of operations and my reporting from Los Angeles to the city of New York, and hopefully taking it national as well as international.
And all right, so you're back there. Were you back there job hunting, or you were back there reporting?
No, I was here reporting, but I was also, while I was here, I had lunch over at the Palms, which is over here just off of Broadway, and I had been talking to a few people. I'd been staying at the local, close to the Marriott here. And I said, well, you know, in a perfect world, maybe if I had the time, I'd love to be doing some reporting in New York. And one thing led to another, and I got hooked up with a couple of people. So it's very possible that I will be moving my base of operations to New York.
All right. And we're talking with Don Berman from Channel 19 News in Los Angeles. So so you may be reporting from New York, and I certainly hope that things go well for you in that respect. But why wouldn't you emphasize in your reporting from New York that this storm is anything but a much ado about nothing, which is what a lot of people were saying?
Well, it is. If you're in New York, it's much ado about nothing. And
are you saying that if you're in New York and you say it's much ado about nothing, that's the only thing that counts?
No, Phil, I would never. I'm not putting it like that. I'm saying to you, yes, I'm in New York City. It's the center of the world. If you want to get down to it, New York is the capital of the world. And in the capital of the world, you hope that you have that things are still functioning.
And all right, but my point is,
can I again? I'm sorry. Can I finish? Because you've interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
New York is the center of everything, and so if New York is doing well, everyone's doing well. If New York is doing poorly, everyone else is doing poorly. And you asked me about North Carolina and Virginia, and I say to you, I am so sorry about that, and also I want to emphasize to the people in New York that I will be broadcasting to that I care very much for the community.
All right, you're emphasizing this to the people of New York, but you're talking to Phil Hendry on his show, and I want to know what steps you've taken or what reporting you did about the rest of the affected areas. It doesn't have to be necessarily North Carolina, Virginia. I know that Rhode Island got hit, but Rhode Island, I think, wrote it out pretty well. We have had fatalities.
Okay, and excuse me, are you done?
No, yes, I'm done, Don, but I'm not trying to monopolize the conversation.
I think you've asked me the same question about five different ways.
I'm asking you, do you feel you have reported this storm honestly?
I'll tell you, yes, I do. I'm a reporter. I'm a reporter. I'm a journalist. I am nothing unless I report the news honestly. I am of no use to anyone, least of all myself, as a professional, least of all myself. Because if I didn't come home at night having reported the news honestly, Phil, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. That's the kind of professional that I am. And I know a man, a 71-year-old man, who used to walk through the door every night and kiss his wife and say, I had a good day today. He was my mentor in this business. Bob Gibbleton.
And I don't know his name.
I think it was Bob Gibbleton, and he came home one night, kissed his wife, went into his office, pulled a 22 out of his desk.
Good God.
Yeah, and shot himself to the head because he had not done a good job that day. He had lied that day. 71 years of age, one of the most respected newsmen I knew. I can't, for the life of me, I'm trying to remember his name.
This guy was your mentor.
Yes.
And why would you not, I'm sorry, to why would you not remember his last name?
It was an unusual last name, and I loved and respected him very much. That has nothing to do with anything. The fact of the matter remains, Bob Gibbledon, and I'll call him Gibbledon if you don't mind,
In lieu of knowing what his last name is, here's a man that killed himself. Can we look that up, bud?
What do you want me to do?
Don't have that idiot do it. I'll look. What do you need to look up?
I want to know the name of the man that was your mentor who shot himself.
Are you raising your voice to me, Phil? I'm sorry if I offended you.
Yeah, it's making me a little angry because the question that I have is very simply this. Are you going to report... And you said, yes, you will, on the hurricane, honestly. And if that is the case, are you going to say that it was anything but much ado about nothing, anything but a big blow and no big story, anything but all the stuff that the New York media was saying, that it was a big and fatal storm?
You know, Phil, I'm watching you on your video, on your TV program, the video TV, and you're being very dramatic, and it was a fatal storm. I know you're playing to your audience. And
no, I'm not. You know, no, I'm not, Don. It was a fatal storm, was it not?
It was not a fatal storm. No, it was not.
Did people die?
Yes. People did not die in New York. And that's what you're missing.
Was it a fatal storm overall in the United... Hurricane Irene?
No, it was not.
It was not, even though people died.
No one died in New York.
I know that no one died in New York. I know that no one died in New York. What about the rest of the country?
No one died in New York, and you need to understand something, Phil, before you start shouting me down. New York is the capital. If in point of fact...
Yeah, I know, it's the capital of the world.
But hold on. In point of fact, New York, if we are to believe, and I believe, that there's no life on any other planet in the solar system, then you have to say that New York is the capital of the solar system. You have to. You have no choice. And if that's the case, that's the biggest city in the solar system, and that means that if New York is spared, that's the story.
So it was not a fatal storm?
No, it was not. It was not a fatal storm based upon the fact that no one in New York died.
And everybody else doesn't exist.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that, and I wish that you would not put it in terms quite so dramatic.
All right, we're talking here with Don Berman.
If you're going to hang up on me, Phil...
No, I got to take a break.
Right.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman talking with us about his coverage of Hurricane Irene. And it was not a fatal storm. It was not a fatal storm to people in other states, in other communities, in other localities, because it was not a big deal in New York. It was not a big deal anywhere else. Now, I don't know, but I can tell you that, I feel that it was, part of this is the fact that he's looking for a job, or at least maybe he's found one in New York. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. If New York is safe, can we say then that this was a storm that was not a fatal storm? It was not a destructive storm, even though we know that people died elsewhere. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Steve Bozell coming up later in our program. David G. Hall coming up later in our program, and I believe Bobby Dooley will be joining us as well here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm talking here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News. He is in New York and was there covering Hurricane Irene. You also have stated very openly here, Don, that you were in New York talking to other prospective employers.
we don't call it that. In broadcasting, Phil, we don't say I'm talking to prospective employers. In broadcasting, we say that we are, I'm going to be, it's very unfortunate that you characterized it as if I'm out looking for just another job selling furniture or something. I'm not, I'm here in New York, and I made contacts, and I will be moving my, I'm going to be moving my operation to New York, all right?
All right. Well, that I don't know what that means. You're going to be moving your operation to New York. Have you got? Have you found a job?
Again, you're insulting me. Have I found a job? What do you think I am? Looking for a lawn job or something?
No, I'm. You know, I work in broadcasting too, and I'm just wondering.
Wondering what?
You're going to go to New York. I wonder where you are going to go to work.
I'm in discussions, and that's how we do it.
Let's go to John. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Sir, you're not thinking on a world scale. You sound like a small-minded, small-town boy moved to a big city with hometown pride.
Well, I'm from Los Angeles. I'm from Los Angeles, so don't worry about it.
Well, I am too. And now I live in Indiana. But you're saying
okay.
New York is the capital of the world. What about Hong Kong, Beijing, London, Berlin, Moscow?
No, they don't do the kind of business that New York does. New York does more business. Excuse me, sir. New York does far more business than Hong Kong. Are you kidding with Hong Kong?
What if the stock market closed down for a day? Would there not be
an
implication on the stock market?
Well, what if you got something caught in a zipper?
My family just moved to the coast.
Right.
And they went through their first hurricane scare, and they're not taking it seriously because of people like you not reporting honestly. People die.
No, what I'm saying, sorry, all I'm saying is, no, people are, would you please not say that?
Well, the man is right. People are dying.
Excuse me, but
no,
they're not.
You're not reporting.
No, they are not.
Yes, they
I'm
are.
I'm reporting
there's
on.
Some dead. And
no,
I
they're not.
Cable.
Yes, there are. Don't minimize the deaths of those people by saying that they didn't die.
I'm not saying there were not fatalities.
And by
I'm saying
not
in New York.
Reporting honestly, you're not creating the correct amount of awareness in people's worlds.
I'm that telling you, sir, and I understand your point. I understand your point, but my point is a bigger one. New York is the capital, as I said, and I'm being.
If you want to write biased articles, move to some small town where you can do it properly, where people aren't informed. People in New York aren't informed. People in L.A. aren't.
People in New York are informed, yes. And I'm saying to the people in New York, it was a storm that passed them by. I'm not lying.
But you're also saying there were no fatalities.
I didn't say there were no fatalities. I said no one died. And there's no, I said no one died.
Fatality is a death. Do you understand?
Well, that when you report it this way, I said no one.
Dictionary?
Yes, of course I do.
Look up.
And I'm trying.
Read it.
I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to be polite. But if I was in, where? What city are you in, sir?
I live in Indianapolis.
What is it?
Indianapolis.
It's the 11th biggest city in the country.
No kidding. Well, that's the 11th biggest city. All right. So if I was in Indianapolis.
Sadly, the third biggest energy-producing state in the
country. I bet you they have the third largest amount of sales in BIPs. You know why?
BIPs?
In BIPs, B-I-B-S. B-I-B-S, BIPs. You know why? Because everyone there eats with their hands, and it all runs down the front. And you know why?
No, they don't. In fact,
because of,
you're
proving it.
Through the government, my girlfriend and I, and we live fairly modestly, but we live well. Do you know how many people live in New York versus Hong Kong? Do you know what the square the population density is?
New York has more people.
Would be without Hong Kong, if
sir, New York has more people. New York has more people. New York has more people than Hong Kong. Okay. Wow. Get with it.
Per square foot density.
No, you're counting people that should not be counted. There are a lot of people in Hong Kong that are living on the very edge of existence. They don't count.
You know why that is? Because we treat them poorly. They treat themselves poorly. It is a way.
That's exactly right. That's right. You bug me.
All right, I'm going to take a break. I thank you, John. Very good call, because I think you brought to the fore some good points.
That man, you wouldn't let me get a word in, Phil.
Yeah, I could let you get a word in, but that gentleman was saying, very honestly, yes, people have died. And you say, well, people have died, but there's no fatalities. What does that mean exactly?
It means that in the reporting that I'm trying to do, and I am, do you understand that I'm trying to get, as you put it, a job in New York? And in order for me to get a job in New York, I have to report to the people, I've got to make them feel good, and I've got to make them feel as if they can listen to Don Berman. So that's a break. I can hear music?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, take it easy, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, back with Don Berman. Should he report that the hurricane killed people? He's not doing it. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. 876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News. And forgive me, I was doing a little adjusting there on our green screen.
Phil, I've been in television my whole life. You've got a picture there of Governor Rick Perry, and he has that corn dog in his mouth. Now, I would ask your audience, I like Rick Perry. I bet you there's a lot of people in your audience that like Rick Perry. Why do you have that picture of him looking as if he is performing a sex act on a corn dog?
You're a real child, aren't you?
No, no. Phil, you're asking me a lot of questions. And
that was a big picture at the state fair, and we have it up there, and we're going to take it down. It's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about, okay?
Well, I think you're trying to make me look as if I'm opposed to people in flyover America, and I am not. I report on news that is important to people in places like Virginia. I report on news that is important to people in places like North Carolina. I report on news that is important to people in places like the, you know, the smaller cities. So I am not just an individual here trying to be trivializing the very real suffering. And I am here to tell you, please don't tell me my job, Phil. Please don't tell me.
I'm not trying to tell you your job.
But please don't tell me what to report. I'm here to tell you that people in North Carolina and Virginia, people in those places, want to know if New York is all right. They want to know that the people of New York are doing well. They don't want to necessarily concentrate on their own problems. If New York's doing well, then they're doing well.
That's ridiculous. And are you telling me they don't want to know about what's going on in their own cities?
They know what's going on in their own cities. What they don't know is how well is New York doing.
Oh, that's an asinine point of view if ever I heard one. You know, our number 877...
Whoa. What do you mean asinine?
And what is this Bob Gibbleton? You know, you're telling me...
You know what? Let's stick to one point. What do you mean asinine?
The very simple question was, are you reporting on fatalities? And you said no, and...
I said because there weren't any.
Yeah, you said there were, even though there were. So basically what you're telling me is that the hurricane was only about New York. And
it was always about New York, Phil. If you looked at the reporting...
I've looked at the reporting, and the reporting was the worst. It was the most atrocious I've ever seen in the history of reporting.
The most... Wow.
That's right.
Wow. And you expect to keep friends in this business?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What does that mean, yeah, exactly?
That's what you're saying to me. If I don't say the right things, I'm going to lose friends. I'm telling you that the reporting on Hurricane Irene was some of the most atrocious I've ever seen in my life. And not only that, I think the reaction in New York to the fact that the hurricane did not seem to hit the city as hard as it might have seemed to indicate to people that it wasn't a very bad hurricane. And you're running with that.
I'm running with what the people of New York experienced. And I'm running.
What about the people in North Carolina and Virginia?
And I am telling you, Phil, that the overall experience of that hurricane in New York, do you understand something, that New York was gearing up for this?
You're telling me a lot about New York. What about North Carolina and Virginia?
I was in New York, and my reporting is about how the people of North Carolina and Virginia feel about New York. And
so, in other words, the hurricane that was going up the eastern seaboard was about how the people of North Carolina and Virginia feel about New York.
Yeah, do they want what is... You are saying that as if I'm some kind of a, excuse the use of the word, and I'll never use it again, but I have to use it here. You're talking like I'm some kind of a retard.
Thank you. Don't ever use that word again. And yes, I am. You're right.
Oh, you don't want me to use the word, but that's really what I am.
But you're talking like a guy that is not connected to all, you know, that you don't have all your oars in the water, because you're saying that New York is the story, that the people in North Carolina and Virginia want to know what the story is, and that story is that everybody's fine in New York.
Did you see Cloverfield?
Did I see Cloverfield?
Yes, did you see Cloverfield? Did you see Deep Impact? Are you awake, and are you aware of what the fears are out there? There is a fear.
Cloverfield is about a monster that attacked New York.
There is a fear, Bill, when a hurricane hits, that there is going to be a calamity, and that it is going to be something that consumes an entire city.
And hold on, for what is that?
They got Harvey Wyman's a lawyer.
Don't interrupt me with what did you say?
You got who?
You got Harvey Wyman's a lawyer, and you did the talk about it.
All right, tell Harvey to hang on the line here for a moment. We're with Don Berman, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I know that people are afraid of calamity, okay?
Yes, and when you have a city facing something like a Cloverfield, and...
That's not what it was facing. It was facing a hurricane.
Okay, and... What's different about that?
Cloverfield is about a monster that came from outer space. That's what's different. Harvey, go ahead.
Yes, who's this? Hold on for a minute, because I've been listening to you, and I can't take it.
Who am I speaking to? I'm the guest on this program.
I understand you're the guest. This is a gentleman, Harvey Wyman. He's an attorney. He is now going to weigh in.
Was he signed on as a guest, or is he a caller?
I called the program.
He's a caller. So therefore, I still have preeminence, correct?
What is this? Is this guy kidding or something?
Hold on for a minute, Harvey. What do you mean preeminence?
I'm the guest.
You're the guest. Mr. Wireman, I know. He's an attorney.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? Do you want to...
Let me... Can I say something to you, sir? Because you have been taking up a great deal of time.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm a guest on the show. I get to talk.
Is this guy a joke? Because I can hang up the phone?
No. Mr. Berman, what needs to be done here... is you need to talk clearly, and I want you, Don, to choose your words very carefully. I'm going to have Harvey Wyman talk with you. Let's go to a phone call first. We have Sandra in Virginia Beach, and I'll get back to you, Harvey, in a moment. Sandra, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Harvey is very cold-hearted. I live in Virginia Beach.
Wait,
we got hit pretty bad.
Sandra, you're talking about Don Berman.
I'm just so upset about him.
Because
we got hit pretty bad in Virginia Beach.
You're talking about me.
I still don't have power. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I still don't have power. And you're making
it seem like about you.
You're making it seem like if I don't live in New York, then nobody should worry about if we got hit bad or not. And that's not
But
safe.
Don't you care? Don't you care about New York and how well the people are doing in New York?
Care about New York and how, they're doing. They should care about me. Personally, New York didn't get hit. You just said that. They're fine. But we're not. And you're acting like if we don't live in New York, then we're just pieces of crap on the side.
That's exactly what that's what I'm afraid of here, Don.
Wait, the lady said you didn't get hit. What did she say?
You know full well what the lady said. She said you didn't get hit in New York.
You see, Phil, this is the problem with this guy. He's a smartass.
I'm not being a smartass. I'm trying to understand what the lady said. Now, Sandra, this is Don Berman, Channel 19 News, Los Angeles. Have you ever seen my show?
No, and I really don't care if I never see it.
Well, Sandra, I'm a reporter. I was in New York. I had lunch with Bill Bingham and a few people.
I don't care who you had lunch with, because you just sat there a few minutes ago and said that, hey, if you don't live in New York, we really don't care. We really don't care.
That's exactly right.
No. I didn't say that. No, I didn't. No, ma'am, I didn't say it. What I said was this. I said, the people in North Carolina, the people in Virginia, they care about New York, and they want to know that New York, that we're okay. And once they know that, then we can report on their fatalities.
No
they don't.
Right. That's not right. If you're going to report on New York and tell us how everybody in New York's doing, you should tell us how everybody in North Carolina's doing, how everybody in Virginia's doing, how everybody in Vermont's doing. But you're not doing
yes.
that. All about is talking about New York.
Ma'am, I'm trying to tell you that I'm in New York. People in New York wanted to know how New York was, and I did, and it's doing fine. Then Mr. Henry said, well, what about North Carolina and Virginia? And I said to him, what about them? And he said, weren't there fatalities there? And I said, no, there were not. Yes, there were deaths, but there were no fatalities.
Well, what is the difference?
Well, can you hear her laughing? Do you hear her laughing, you see? So she's
laughing at you because you're ridiculous.
Ma'am, I'm trying to tell you this is a staple of news reporting. And
what does it mean if there's no fatalities, but there are deaths?
I don't want to cause a panic. We learned this, and you can laugh if you want. We learned it from that film Cloverfield. If you saw Cloverfield, did you see that film, ma'am?
People got killed in Virginia.
In Cloverfield.
You don't care. How many people got killed in New York?
That's unreal. That is unreal.
How many people got what?
How many people got killed in New York?
Fortunately, no one.
Okay, great.
Fortunately, no one. Okay, then. And how many? Do you know how many people have gotten killed because of this hurricane?
In New York, no one.
No, exactly, no one. But there's been a total of 40 deaths.
Not in New York.
You know what? All you care
not in New York.
And all you care is that none of them were in New York.
No, but I'm just saying, isn't that good?
Thank God none of them were in New York because if anything happened to New York, then, oh, God, what will we do?
Do you know, I hate to pull this card. I hate to pull the 9/11 card. I hate to pull the 9/11 card, but you know, I think it's only right that New York didn't have any.
No, we're not going to pull the 9/11 card.
Has nothing to do with this. 9/11 has nothing to do with this. When that happened in New York, I don't know about anybody else, but we were devastated. We felt so bad for those people. So now it's their turn to feel bad for somebody else.
Well, okay, but 3,000 versus 40.
Oh, my God.
One death. It's still bad. Somebody died.
All right. You asked me, did anyone die, and I said, not in New York.
That's exactly right, and that's the extent of your ability to report, Don. All you know is New York. You're in New York. You could be reporting on North Carolina or Virginia. The reason why this news story was so big in New York is because the news gathering agencies are in New York, and so they're looking at New York, and they're saying, well, look at this. We're cool, and what else? You know, this is a much ado about nothing.
Well, in New York it was.
Fine, but that's not what the storm was. It was a devastating storm. Harvey, did you want to say something?
Young lady for calling in and defending her area, Virginia Beach. Now, as far as this guy, you know, pal, if you knocked on my door selling bananas for the 4th of July, but the Labor Day, I would hurt you. I would physically assault you.
Selling bananas?
Don't ask me questions.
All right, look, let's take a break. Sandra, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Our number is 877. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
No, I want to ask, what do you mean selling bananas?
Because I can tell you right now, my friend.
What do you mean selling bananas?
I'm going to tell you if you'll shut your mouth.
You know what? You can go straight to hell. I hope you die of cancer.
Did he hang up?
I think he did, Phil, yeah.
You get him back on the line, bud.
Hey.
Boy, I tell you, you know, I was in the Marines. I don't know what. If that guy showed up at my door selling bananas, the reason why I said selling bananas is he's got to be some kind of a monkey. And that's all I got to say about it.
All right, hold on, Harvey. 877-876-PHIL. I hope you die. Oh, man. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Finish up here with Don Berman. We've got a lot to talk about, including Stephen Bozell is going to be joining us. Have you seen those ads, and I know you have, those ads that show those poor, abused animals, and they ask for a donation? Are you able to watch those commercials through? I can't. And as a result, I've never been able to get the name or the number of the agency that wants the money for the animals. We're going to talk with Stephen Bozell about that coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm sorry I hung up.
To call the
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Berman, that was uncalled for, the way that you went off the air, hanging up on the caller.
Well, the caller. You're treating him like he's a guest. I was told I'm a guest.
I understand. And every time you're on this program, Don, you're always interested who's the guest, and you want to make sure there's a pecking order. I don't do that. Yes, you are the guest, and yes, Mr. Wireman is the caller, but he's a friend of mine.
That's what I'm talking about right there, okay? So you two guys want to gang up on me. You're going to tag team, and... Boy, don't you laugh at me.
Phil, let me grab this, Phil, because this guy, you've got a little bit of an insecurity complex, sir. Hold on for a minute, will you?
What the hell was that?
Hold on, will you? I have a...
I was talking about Cloverfield a minute ago, and you were laughing. And the noise you just made, I swear to God.
I didn't see Cloverfield. I didn't see it. I don't know what that is.
It was a monster movie.
A monster movie? Are you talking about the hurricane in New York and a monster movie?
I'm saying that one of the darkest fears that we have in this country is that New York would be attacked and destroyed. That's what I'm saying. Now, it is a dark fear that it is almost a subliminal, if you will, an archetypal fear.
Hold on for a minute. Before you keep going on, and excuse me for saying this, but before you keep going on paddling it, because that's what you sound like.
I'm a newsman working here, and what do you do for a living?
I'm a retired attorney, sir.
You're a retired attorney? And you tell me I'm back here in New York paddling it, huh? Because I happen to understand the focus of a news story, and that the people of the East are interested, the people of the East. And it's so very few times do we hear that term. We hear about men of the West. We heard that during the entire Fellowship of the Rings, didn't we? Well, didn't we?
Oh, would you get serious?
What is he talking about, Fellowship of the Rings? I'm talking
about the men of the West. Do you remember that?
Are you getting... You know something? You need to lay down, man. We're not talking about Tolkien and The Hobbit and...
I'm not talking about The Hobbit either. I'm just simply saying the relative value of West versus East. Okay?
If that's the case, from what I understand, the East was looked down upon as a place of Mongol hordes, Mongol horde.
Mongrel hordes.
Mongrel hordes, yes.
No, I don't think they're mongrel hordes. Not in New York City.
Well, so here we get back to what you're talking about. We get back to this idea that, I don't know how we got off on Lord of the Rings.
I think the guy you got with this guy is one of these fruits. Huh?
What do you mean, fruit?
I think you ought to be writing kid stories or something. I don't think you should be reporting on anything.
What qualifies you, sir?
Hold on. I'm going to take control of this. Hold on.
What qualifies this man?
Hold on. I'm taking control.
Oh, you're taking control, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking control, and that means I may hang up on both of you. Now, I don't care about Lord of the Rings. I don't know how we got off on that, okay?
Men of the West.
That's fine. That's got nothing to do with anything, Men of the West. We're talking about the hurricane and the fact that you yourself have said it is very important to make sure that we report adequately on how New York is doing. I agree. Would you agree with that, Harvey?
Yes, of course I agree with it, that you... Of course I...
I can't sit here and listen to that man gagging up whatever... He's gagging up here. Oh, God.
I happen to have a phlegm situation, and I have to... I've got to reload.
And what do you mean, reload?
I have to hock up a phlegm ball and then reload. That's the...
What does that mean?
That's what my doctor calls it.
Reload?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Is it sexual?
You know what? I ought to come through the phone and beat you to death just for that.
All right, let's just forget about the fact that the gentleman's having a health issue. I want to stick to the point. Are you saying, Don, that, and I believe you are, that it is acceptable to lie to people in order to report and keep the story focused on New York?
I am saying that the consumer out there expects some lying, insofar as we want to make sure that we don't encourage the enemies of this country by saying that New York is in very, very bad straits. New York is having a very tough time of it. New York, you know, has had a lot of fatalities. New York has got a lot of flooding. New York has this and New York has that. That encourages the Al-Qaeda and Al... You know, I used to call them Al-Kaline because I could never remember the name of it. But as a newsman, you use that kind of shorthand. So we would say Al-Kaline.
And what has Al-Kaline got to do with it?
It's not Al-Kaline doesn't have anything to do with it.
It's a nickname for Al-Qaeda?
Yes, because if I couldn't remember Al-Qaeda, I'd say Al-Kaline. So in the newsroom, we say if Al-Kaline visits.
What do you mean Al-Kaline? He played for the Tigers.
He's talking about a shorthand of some kind for Al-Qaeda. Is that it?
For the third time, yes!
Oh, boy, buddy, you got to get in and have something looked at.
Oh, really? What's that?
I don't know. I think you've got something wedged.
Oh, so the two of you are tag-teaming again with the Laughs. Is that the music? That means this is the end of the hour.
Yes, it is.
Thank God.
Well, thank God, too. World-famous Phil Hendry show.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Harvey. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry show, 877-876-PHIL. God, man.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we welcome you to our program here each and every night, Monday through Friday, till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we are radio for Patriots by Patriots. So, everybody join hands and let's take a walk. Anyway, maybe that'll work. I don't know. That's my homage, my pay on to conservative radio. What do you think of that, bud?
Yeah, people aren't going to care.
And what are you doing? You spending my money again?
Yeah, I'm buying Lamb Lies Down on Broadway by Gannett, or I don't forget.
Genesis, because I asked you to. All right. Our number, just don't talk about that.
That's pretty obscure stuff, man.
Well, maybe it's obscure. I like it. So anyway, we'll play it later on. All right. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget that our website is philhendryshow.com. If you go over to our website right now, you can see our live streaming video of the show, and that is Phil TV in HD. And Phil TV in HD, of course, is that's where you can see us do the show. You can watch us perform the show each and every night. So please do that. You can also pick up what I'm wearing on the video cast tonight is our new Phil Hendry ball cap. Now, because of the green screen, what the hell happened? That's supposed to be the sun, isn't it?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the sun, man. It don't look like the sun to me.
You know, we're going to have to get another deer. Anyway, there's the Phil Hendry logo is on our ball cap, if you see it. And you take a look at that, and you get a good idea of what it there. If we have that backdrop, you can see the sun. So go to our shop. It's not in the shop just yet. I think it'll be in the shop either tomorrow or the next day. This is the new Phil Hendry show. Ball cap, it's fantastic. Here is the back of it. You can see the buckle. See, we got a nice brass buckle on the back. So it's a beautiful thing. Check it out. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association joining us for her weekly report. And this portion of our program brought to you, of course, by Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Bobby, thanks for joining us. I did want to talk to you. And you guys are there?
Yes, Bill, we're right here.
Okay. I did want to talk to you about your watching of the VMAs last night and the incident that occurred there at your community center. Can you tell us?
Yeah, Phil, it was a really unfortunate event. We had all gathered in our community center to watch the Video Music Awards on MTV. I was particularly excited about seeing Lady Gaga, as was Steve and a lot of people. She's a very, very vibrant and interesting performer. And we were really excited about seeing her. We also wanted to see all the other acts as well. But Lady Gaga, I think, was the highlight of the night. Did you like Kylie Minogue?
I like Kylie Minogue. It's really good.
Kylie Minogue was great with her outfit.
Kylie Minogue. She had the outfit. She had, like, those big eyelashes.
Yeah,
she looked great. I mean, she was interesting. I mean, I don't know.
You don't like that kind of music?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I don't know, man. I understand the production value of that whole thing was to make it look like everybody. It was one big party, and it was people were sort of. It looked to me like the cross between a red carpet and a big Playboy Mansion party or something. You know.
I think that's a good way of putting it, but it was for us. It was a lot of fun, and we were enjoying it. Now we had Carol Rimpaugh. And she was there with her family members. Bob Gibba was there and some others. At one point, Carol was on her cell phone, and I asked her if she could take it into another room, and she said that she wasn't getting good reception in there. And I said, well, who are you talking to? And she said she was talking to her relatives back east. And I said, why? And, you know, she started to give me a little bit of an attitude.
Was it because of the hurricane?
Well, before we talk about that, Phil, if can I just make my point? Because, yes, she was talking to them, but the point that I'm trying to make, we were watching the Video Music Awards, and Lady Gaga, and Kylie Minogue, and all of the great artists that we had been waiting to see. And Carol Rimpaugh was on the phone talking loudly, and I finally said to her, would you take it into another room? And she said that the cell service was bad in there. And so, are you understanding what I'm saying?
No, I'm understanding. My question was, did you ask her, not ask her, because I know you asked her, but was it possible she was talking to people back east because of the hurricane?
No, I told you she was talking to people back east. She told me that.
Okay, yeah, and then you asked her what about, and what did she say?
She said it's none of your business. And I said to her, it is my business because we're trying to watch the VMA Awards with Lady Gaga, Kylie Minogue, Jamba Jim, James Montgomery, all of the great stars that we wanted to watch. And I said, so, you know, you're in the community center. I said, what are you talking to them about? And she gave me this look. And I repeated to her, I said, we are here watching the VMA Awards, and we're watching Lady Gaga. At that point, she said, my family is in the path of the hurricane, or was, and I'm trying to get an update on them. And I asked her, where were they? And she said, they live in Washington, D.C., but they own property in North Carolina, and they were down in Southern Virginia. And I said, what has that got to do with, are they hurt? Do they live there? And she said they were in the middle of the hurricane, so I'm trying to find out how they were. Well, you can see, Phil, that she's giving you the runaround.
And, well, how do you figure she's giving you the runaround?
Well, they live in Washington, D.C. They own property in North Carolina, so they were driving there to check on it, and they got caught in the hurricane. Okay?
That sounds logical to me. If the hurricane is coming up the coast...
Well, okay, but we were in the middle of watching the we've had two straight days of reporting. I just heard you do a full hour with this reporter in New York. How much of this do we have to hear about is what I asked her.
Is that what your attitude is, or that's what you were talking to her about? What is this about? I mean, are you saying that there's too much reporting?
I'm telling you what happened between me and Carol, all right? And I at that particular point, I was a little frustrated. But I said to her, will you take it outside, please? And she said, I don't have proper cell service. And that's when I said to her, maybe you should have thought of that when you bought that, and I used the term, Cracker Jack's box phone.
And why did you say that?
Because it was a very cheap-looking phone. And I said, maybe you should have thought of that before you pulled your phone out of a Cracker Jack box or something like that. And that's when she did something that is going to get anyone angry. She gave me the finger.
So this is in the middle of a community center. You're watching the Video Music Awards. You told this woman that you couldn't watch the views, the awards while she was talking on the phone. Now, the fact that she was talking to family members who were in the middle of the hurricane.
Well, the hurricane had passed through, Phil.
All right, I understand that, but was she not trying to find out how they were doing?
She was trying to find out how they were doing, but I asked her to take it outside. And she said again that...
No, she had bad cell service, so she had to be in the room there. And so she was speaking too loud.
She was speaking on a phone. And that's what I was upset with, because the rest of us were watching Kylie Minogue and Lady Gaga and all the people that I've already mentioned.
And all right, was she keeping you from hearing what was going on?
That's not the point, Phil.
That's not the point, Mr. Henry. She was on the phone and everybody else watched Kylie Minogue and Lady Gaga.
No, I understand what everybody else was doing. Was she keeping you from doing that?
Yes, she was.
Why?
Because everyone else was watching Lady Gaga and...
Oh, my God. Mr. Henry, you understand... Everybody else watched Lady Gaga.
I know everybody else was watching Lady Gaga. I'm not arguing that with you. Are you saying that the woman was talking too loud?
I'm saying that she was interrupting our watching of the
MTV, the Lady Gaga award that we were watching.
Okay, what you're telling me is the mere fact that she was talking on the phone was distracting enough.
Let me explain it, Phil, and forgive me if I haven't. We are all gathered together. We are watching the Lady Gaga, Kylie Minogue.
I understand who you're watching. You're watching the VMA Award, the Video Music Awards, correct?
Yes, and we were watching these awards, all of us together. We had about 40 people in the room. We were enjoying wines. Someone had made a delicious, we'd had chili. Someone had made the spinach dip. And we were having a wonderful time together watching as Lady Gaga came out. And, you know, and the other...
I know, and Jamba Jim and all those people. I understand that.
All right. And she's on the phone.
And she's on the phone, sir.
And she's on the phone. So she was on the phone not talking too loudly. It was the fact that she was doing something different.
No, it was not the fact she was doing something different. It was the fact that we were watching... The Music Video Awards, the MVA Awards.
VMA Awards.
The VMA Awards.
The VMA Awards.
Well, it's about music videos. That's my understanding.
Right.
And it was Lady Gaga.
Okay, Bobby, Ms. Dooley, you're being a bit redundant. Was this woman, other than doing something different from the rest of you, which was being on the phone and not watching the VMA Awards, was she distracting you in any other way?
Yes, sir, she was.
What was she doing?
Well, the mere fact, Bobby will tell you better, the mere fact she just be there.
The fact that she was there in front of all of us, Phil, as we were trying to enjoy together the VMA Awards, and she decided that she would be on a phone. So, in other words, it's almost as if you're in a boat and everyone's pulling in one direction and someone else is pulling in another direction. And so
the fact that she just was there on the phone and not watching was bothering you.
It bothered me to the point where I told her to get out of the room, that she was obviously not watching the when Lady Gaga came out. She wasn't watching. And
was this about watching Lady Gaga or the music?
It's not music video. It's the music.
No, I know. The Video Music Awards. Is it about... Was it about her?
That was the primary focus, yes.
And she wasn't watching.
And she refused to watch. I told her to get out because I'd lost my temper. And she said again, for the 9 millionth time, she couldn't get cell service. And I said, well, you know what? And I sounded a little childish, and I apologized for this. I said, tough toenails or something like that. And she flipped me off. And that's when I grabbed her hair. You have to understand something.
All right, now I want to get into this when we come back. You two women got into a fight.
Yeah, they did, but the woman flipped her off.
She flipped me the finger.
Okay, but you grabbed some of her hair, and the two of you began pulling hair?
Phil, before I hear a lecture from you and your listeners, this woman gave me the finger, and this was after I had told her to get out of my community center. And
well, we'll determine whether it's your community center, Ms. Dooley.
I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. Please don't Please don't go there.
All right, hold on. Our number 877-876, Phil, we're going to get back with Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western States Homeowners Association, where a physical altercation took place last night because of these VMA awards. Bobby, her other friends, her husband, they're all watching those, while another woman was on the phone back east to relatives who'd been in the middle of the hurricane, and the woman was not too loud. She was not being really distracting at all, other than the fact that she was doing something different from everybody else. Ms. Dooley asked her to leave. The woman gave her the finger, and then apparently, and we'll get into this more, there was hair pulling, and all of this because Bobby Dooley's the president of the Homeowners Association, and we've had her on the program many times, and I know that she runs a very tight ship out there, and I know that they've got a beautiful community, and I know they've won a lot of awards, but I don't know that even as the Homeowners Association president, you can grab a whole handful of a woman's hair and start, you know, fighting. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back with your phone calls and more. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley and the VMA Awards and a woman on a cell phone and what happened there at Western Estates last night. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're talking here with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Bobby, with Western States Homeowners Association, you have won awards. You have gotten your community, Western Estates, in a number of high-profile magazines, architectural as well as lifestyle magazines for the beautiful community that you serve out there, Bobby. There's no question. There have been people who have said that this idea of being a homeowners association president perhaps vests some people with too much power. And hold on, let me just ask this question. When you tell a woman to leave a room, not because she's being too loud on the phone, not because she is distracting people with the loudness of her voice or perhaps the comments that she's made, when you're telling a woman to leave a community center because she's simply doing something other than what the people there are doing, is that not exercising too much power as a homeowners association president?
No, Phil, I don't think it is. If you understood what we do as homeowners association presidents, we foster, Phil, not only a beautiful lifestyle for people, but we also foster a sense of community. When I told everyone that we would be having the Video Music Awards in the community center, and I invited everyone, I expected people to show up and to watch. I had made it clear through the emails that Lady Gaga would be on. She's very, very entertaining. She's very interesting. I don't know if you've ever watched her.
Yeah, of course we have.
All right. Well, you know that she's extremely entertaining.
Well, she's interesting.
Well, did you see her last night? Well, you say she's interesting. Did you see her last night?
Yes, I did.
And what did you think of her, what did you call it, Steve?
That's good, the guinea.
What did you think of that guinea that she did?
And well, what? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's the guinea crack, okay?
Well, it means Italian.
Yeah, whatever it may mean. What do you mean, guinea?
I'll do it, Steve, all right? Let me do it. She had her hair greased up like she was a guinea right out of the Bronx.
Yeah.
Well, you know something, Bobby? I think you got to be careful with throwing those words around like that.
Well, that's what I was telling everyone last night, and everyone thought it was a riot.
This woman that you told to leave, was she Italian?
No, her name is Carol Rimpaugh. She's not Italian. Her problem was that she was standing there on the phone, talking on the phone while we were watching Lady Gaga. And she had gone into this Italian routine. And it's absolutely hysterical. And did you see that, Phil, at all?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I didn't think it was funny at all. I don't think that Lady Gaga...
hold on. What do you mean you didn't think it was funny, though?
It wasn't funny. I don't think Lady Gaga is a stand-up comic. I mean, I think she's a performance artist, and I think she's a terrific provocateur and actress and singer and dancer. I don't think she's a comic.
You're kidding. Well, okay, I guess you're entitled to your opinion.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would that have gotten me thrown out of your community center?
You got to understand Lady Gaga. She's really incredible.
I want to ask you something, Steve, if I could.
Well, hold on for a minute. Who are you? What are you asking?
I want to ask Steve a question.
I'd like you to ask me the question before you ask him.
Well, I want to talk to Steve.
Hold on, Steve. What do you want to know?
I want to know, does he think Lady Gaga's great because he thinks she's great or because you and the other women?
No, I don't want you asking him that. I don't want him asking you that. Steve, would you please? I don't want you asking him that, Phil, and I'll tell you why. That is really a question that's designed to start a fight. I was in a fight last night that was started by someone else, but I got news for you. I finished it. And
did you grab this woman's hair?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so she flipped you off when you told her to leave.
That's right.
You told her to leave not because she was making noise, but...
So we've been through this. I told her to leave because she wasn't doing what I expected her to do, and that was to sit and watch Lady Gaga, Kylie Minogue...
Yes, and the awards and everything like that. I understand that.
All right, if you understand that, what is the difficult... I don't understand.
The fact that she flipped you off and then you grabbed her hair...
I grabbed her hair, she grabbed mine. She was attempting to swing me around with my own hair, and that's when I basically said, okay, this is enough. And I pulled her hair a little... I don't know if you want me to go into it.
Hold on for a minute, we'll be back. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on a fight that broke out in the middle of Lady Gaga's quote-unquote Guinea Act. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Okay, you said that, I didn't. You said that, I didn't. I want the record reflected.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley have joined me from the Western States Homeowners Association as we talk about this Video Music Award party that you had there. There was a disturbance. Ms. Dooley, you were involved in it, and it had to do with a woman who was on the phone to relatives back east about the hurricane.
No, I was not concerned with the fact that she was on the phone with her relatives about the hurricane. I was concerned about the fact that she was on the phone with her relatives talking about the hurricane when we had been there. I understand that people are concerned with their relatives. She could have talked to them before she came down for the Lady Gaga. She could have talked to them after. She could have talked to them at a time that was more convenient for the community at large, but instead she chose to talk there and then.
Let me ask you, what is the number one, what is it about that offends you the most?
What is it about what, Phil?
What do you mean?
What is it about someone being on the phone when the rest of you are watching the VMA Awards that offends you the most? You said that she wasn't being too loud. You said that she wasn't using any vile language. So what was it?
What? It's not about offending me. It's about when I tell people what they are going. And I know it sounds dictatorial because I'm a homeowners association, but you said we have a beautiful community. Here's why. We have the most beautiful gated community probably in Southern California, and the reason is this. When I tell people to do something, they do it. You understand?
And you tell homeowners what to do.
If they are coming into my community center...
Tell them the community center, Ms. Henry, and I got to do what she said.
When they come into my community, I've got it, Steve, okay? Let me handle the hefty, heavy living. I just said hefty living.
Let me do it.
The phone. Let me do the heavy lifting. When she comes into my community center, and...
And we have a couple of calls holding?
did you say? I didn't hear you, Phil.
I said I've got a couple of calls holding, so...
So what?
So can I get you to wrap up your point, and then I can...
Well, no, I'm not going to go any faster than... You know, you've got a lot of gall.
Jody, my wife could take a point.
I got it, Steve. Let me do the heavy lifting. That's what I am here to tell you.
All right. I want to get somebody on the air.
Hold on for a minute, all right, Phil? You know...
Yeah, hold on,
Steve.
Who called me Sunshine?
Steve did.
I did.
Don't you call... Don't say, hold on, Sunshine, okay? Don't do that.
It's not a curse word.
I don't care. I don't like him calling me that.
What? What's wrong with that?
Don't say, hold on, Sunshine. You understand? You can call me Phil. You can call me Mr. Hendry if you want. But you don't say, hold on, Sunshine.
All right. I mean, we were just simply trying...
I know what you were simply trying to do. I got calls that I want to get to. I got a whole show that I want to finish doing, et cetera, so on and so forth, if you don't mind. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Jim Sadler, go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. Very, very interesting program this evening, and I want to congratulate you on an interesting program.
What is this?
Is this Miss Dooley?
No, I'm talking to the host of the show. What is that?
It's one of my callers.
Well, I heard something
that... No, it's not a...
Yeah, I heard something that sounded almost...
May I say something, Phil?
Yes, go ahead, Doc.
Phil, I heard something that sounded rodent.
Rodent-like.
I beg your pardon. I'm calling from San Diego, and I wanted to talk to you about your attitude. Is this a caller?
This is the caller. Listen to him and stop talking.
What an ass.
Yeah.
I wanted to, thank you, Phil. I wanted to ask the lady a question, if I could, about this incident that took place in the rumpus room. And
rumpus room? There wasn't a rumpus room.
It was in a community center, Dr. Sadler.
In the community center.
What do you mean rumpus room? What do you mean rump?
What, do you play with someone's rump in there? You play with someone's rump in a rumpus room?
Yeah.
Why did you grow up?
Oh, my God. One of the problems you have is a juvenile fixation. It's almost as if you didn't get out of the terrible twos, because you are talking like any child would talk, in a very dictatorial manner.
And you said dictatorial.
You said dictatorial.
Yeah, so what?
You said dictatorial.
Would the two of you grow up and listen to him?
You have an almost infantile preoccupation with demanding attention, demanding that everyone pay attention to you. And your comment that I sounded rodent-like, that is a hostility that comes from wanting to control every single solitary aspect. You know, I can tell they're laughing at my speech impediment, which I got. I was injured in a lion-taming accident, so go ahead and make your jokes.
I'm not saying anything.
No, I'm going to hang up.
So he's gone. 877-876-PHIL, 877-8... Dr. Sadler hung up the phone.
Yeah, I heard that.
And I think he did because he anticipated being humiliated by the two of you.
Bill, let the record show I didn't humiliate him.
Oh, no, not at all. Just said he sounded rodent-like. And what's this? And all of these other comments.
I apologize.
Well, it's not good apologizing to me. He hung up. Should have apologized to him. Now, our number 877-876-PHIL. What is this about the fight?
It wasn't really a fight. What happened was she gave me the finger after I told her to take her phone outside. I reached and grabbed her hair. She grabbed mine. And we began to pull each other in a circle. It was at that time that I got my left leg under one of her legs, and I was able to get a little bit of leverage by tripping her, pushing her to the ground, and I got on top of her. I reached up, and we had just a buffet that was there for everyone to get whatever they wanted and go and sit down and watch Lady Gaga. And I reached up, and I got a paper cup as I was holding her down, and I was able to scoop chili out of the chili server, I guess, Steve.
Yeah, like a heater.
That doesn't matter.
I'm sorry?
Doesn't matter what the chili was in. You scooped chili out of whatever it was being served from.
Well, it was very hot, and that's why I'm saying it was literally very hot, but I felt I had to do that, so I'm telling you I was burned a little bit. I was risking being burned to get this woman under control. I was getting a cupful of chili, and I risked being burned.
Okay, so you were sitting on this woman, right?
Not sitting on her.
I didn't have my butt on her. What are you asking?
I didn't ask you if you had your butt on her blank blank. I said, were you sitting on her, as in controlling her?
Yes, my knees were over her arms.
Okay.
I don't know where you're going with it, Phil. That's why I asked.
All right, so you're sitting on her.
Yes. I reached up, and I grabbed a paper cup of chili, and I poured it on her neck and on her chin.
Yeah, so it didn't get on her face or anything.
You poured steaming hot chili?
It was lukewarm.
All right, so what do you mean you risked being burned?
Because there was fire underneath the chili bowl, and I poured chili on her face to get her to pay attention to me. And I said, are you going to pay attention to me? And she didn't say anything. And I said, are you going to pay attention? I said, I'm going to pour the chili on you. I'm going to pour the chili on you. I said it three times, Steve, didn't I?
Yeah, I said three times. Are you going to shut up? Are you going to shut up? Are you going to get out? And she didn't say nothing.
And she didn't say anything. And I said, all right, I'm pouring the chili on you. And I poured it on her neck and on her sweater.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what?
Then she got up, and she said something smart to me, and I grabbed her hair and tripped her again and put her on the ground again.
And so she got up, and what did she say to you?
She told me, she called me an MF and the C word, and she's on her way out. And I said, no, that's not what I said. I said, are you going to shut up and do what I say? So I pulled her to the ground again, and I got some of the bean dip, and I smeared it on her. I know it sounds juvenile, Phil.
It sounds extremely juvenile. It sounds extremely juvenile. And if I was that woman, I would have had you arrested for assault.
You know, you don't know what was going on, Phil.
No, I know exactly what was going on. I want to go to another phone call here. Robert in Houston. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
I'm listening to this right now. I'm driving around. I work at night. And man, this lady,
yes, sir.
She has a problem with authority. That's what it is. She doesn't want anyone to, or anything. She wants to be in control of everything. I mean, community center, she's like, oh, that's my community center. No, you're there because you got voted there. Community center means more than one. If you want to talk on the phone, I mean, that's fine. We're in America. We can talk on the phone. We're not a communist country. We're not,
well,
you know, it's just not
no,
right.
But we voted, no, but in the community center, Lady Gaga was on. I don't know if you watched last night.
Lady
or
Gaga.
Not. Did you?
Lady, no, I didn't, because Lady Gaga.
Well, then you,
know, you
don't
what
really
does
know.
Interest me is, but what it does interest me is I have other things to do than to watch music video awards and things like that, things that are important, you know? But, I mean, Lady Gaga to me
is
nothing.
Well, that's your opinion.
Right. She wanted to talk to her family. Her opinion was she wanted to be
exactly.
And loving and finding what happened to her family. I mean, that's you're not anyone to tell her what to do and what not to do. I mean, she's a grown-up.
We all agreed. We all agreed that we'd watch Lady Gaga, and now she is doing something else.
So this, you know, that's the part of this that bothers me. The fact that this woman... Yeah.
No.
You know, I'm sorry, Bill. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt.
It was distracting. It was distracting us that we were watching Lady Gaga, and here is this woman who gives me the finger, by the way. And
she was talking to her family that had been in the hurricane.
You probably deserve.
Really?
Yeah. You probably.
Why do you think that's? Why do you think that's funny? Why do you think that's funny?
Because something is wrong with you. I mean, you can't go around telling people what to do, what not to do. What if you don't sign your checks? You can't do that. I mean, you're not. Nobody made you God. I mean, you don't do that. You just don't. Even your husband
well,
is scared to talk. You know. I mean, God, I feel sorry.
Well,
for
let me
guy,
tell you something. Let me tell you what I did do. I got her on the ground and I poured chili and bean dip on her.
And that's going to tell me I can't say that. I mean, that's childish. I mean, my 13-year-old
exactly.
My 13-year-old doesn't even act that.
You know something, sir? I'll put it to you this way. I'm the big dog. All right. I'm the homeowners association
But that doesn't make you any better than anyone else, ma'am. I mean, it doesn't matter.
I understand that. When I told her, Lady Gaga.
You know, if I hear Lady Gaga one more time, you were in there. I understand that.
Yes, we were watching Lady Gaga, and here is Carol Rimpa doing. She's doing something other than what we were. The larger group was doing. Okay.
Because she can do that. She has a God-given right and freedom here in America to do that. She can do that. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
Disturbing me. It was disturbing the sense of community we had that we were watching Lady Gaga.
I don't think it was disturbing anyone else because nobody else had a problem with it. No one else said anything but you. I think that's the problem.
You don't know that.
Nobody else had a bean on her, throwing chili on her.
Exactly. You were pouring chili?
Let me tell you what I did.
You should be in jail.
You're really proud of that, huh?
Mr. Henry, I let her up, and she said something smart using the F word and a C word, and I said, you know something? Guess what? This isn't over. I put her on the ground again, and I smeared bean dip on her face.
Oh, God.
Grow up.
No, you should. Unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
I am the president of... Let me say something to this gentleman, Robert, and to
Mr.
Henry. Western States Homeowners Association has won award after award after award for community living, for the quality of our lifestyle, for the safety of our neighborhood.
For that same reason, ma'am, you shouldn't even be there if you're going to be acting that way. You don't have the right or you haven't earned the right to be there.
And you tripped her and smeared bean dip on her face.
Is that the way you're supposed to act? I mean, is that the way you're supposed to carry yourself? I mean, here you are.
And what would you have done?
Thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. That's Robert and Bobby and Steve. Hang on. This woman flips her the bird. Okay, I get it that it'll piss you off. Now she gets into a fight, pours chili on the woman. When the woman finally gets up and Bobby lets her go, the woman turns around and says something else to her, the C word, the F word. Okay, now Ms. Dooley trips her again and smears bean dip on her face. This is what five-year-olds do. This is not a homeowners association president, and yet she feels she was in her legal right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I think we have somebody who was with us last hour. Don Berman is going to join us in a moment to talk about this issue, because we had talked to Don last hour, you know, about the hurricane, and really this is what we're discussing here tonight, Ms. Dooley, and I don't necessarily see this as a bad thing. I mean, what I'm saying here is that...
I don't think it's a bad thing to want to talk to your... If the issue is it a bad thing to want to talk to your relatives? No, it isn't. But talk to your relatives on... You know, there's an old saying, Phil, if when we die, we find out that this whole God thing really does exist, then I'm going to have to deal with that. But until then, we're on my time. You know? We're on my time.
We're on my time.
What do you mean, we're on my time?
No, my time. If you're in my community center, you understand what I'm saying.
No, I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that you're more important than God?
I'm saying if the time comes and we find out there is a God, he don't listen too good, do he?
He don't listen too good, do he? Boy,
when I get very angry and nervous, I fracture some of my sentences.
Boy, that's more than fracturing it. You don't listen too good, do we?
Don't make fun of my wife, Mr. Henry.
I'm saying, Phil, that if the time comes and we find out that God exists, all right, then I guess I've got some explaining to do. But until then, we're on my time. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't know what this has to do with you pouring chili on a woman's face. With you...
I did not pour...
Did pour chili on the face, but butter did.
I buttered her up. I didn't butter her up. I That's what you did.
Yeah, I buttered
her. Steve buttered her. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I think, and I'm going to just conclude with this, all right, because we're going to move on. Next hour, we have our news and information hour.
Well, that's really... Wow.
Hey, that's really great, Mr. Andy. Too bad I won't be listening.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, if I was at your house right now or wherever you are, I'd kick the crap out of both of you.
Is that right? You think you could?
Yeah, I do.
Both of them?
Yeah. Now, what do we got?
Don Berman.
Don Berman has joined us. Don Berman is a newsman, and we have talked to Don about Hurricane Irene. We've talked to Don about what it was like in New York. You know, you had this woman who you would not you didn't want her in the room.
It had nothing to do with what she was talking to her family about. It had to do with the fact that she was going against what it was we wanted her to what it was we wanted her to do, which was to watch. Oh my God! What is this?
What is this?
To Mr. Berman.
I'm Don Berman, Phil, in New York, and I wanted to come on your program. I apologize. If you could have him to...
What is that?
Turn it off, please. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm in New York, and I wanted to play the news stinger that we would be using if I get a job here to give you and your audience a little more of a sense of what I was talking about, because last hour I think I was embarrassed and humiliated, and I wanted to come on the program... And
what, play your news stinger?
May I ask who you are?
My name is Don Berman, Channel 19 News in Los Angeles.
I don't know.
We watch all the news here. I don't know who you are.
Can I have my stinger again? Because can I have my stinger again? Thank you. Do you recognize that?
Who are you talking to?
If you don't mind, Phil, I'm talking to... Do you recognize that?
Yes, that's the music they play...
That's where they play the news.
Yes, I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News.
I don't...
Oh, my God. All right, I'm in New York, and...
We know you're in New York, and you're there to get a job, and you're a newsman, and what are you doing playing that stinger? Is that so people know that you're a newsman, and so that they will... What is that about?
I'm telling you, this woman was talking about her community center... Let me start again. Is Bud Dickman there? Is Bud Dickman there?
Yeah, right here.
Do it again, would you please? All right, ma'am, do you hear that?
Yes, I hear that. My God, you are so irritating.
Okay, forget it.
All right, I gotta go.
Well, Phil, can we get everyone to join us next year at our...
All right, we'll be back with our news and information hour. I can't stand it. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I'm Don Berman.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here as we are broadcasting from the shores of the El Pacifico. If you're watching our video cast tonight, you can see us sitting here in front of the El Pacifico, although that El Pacifico is a outdoor camera taken at a different time of day because the sun's out. But nonetheless, it's a beautiful ocean out there, ain't it, bud?
Yeah, it's pretty nice out there and everything. The go-out's pretty windy today, though.
Well, it hasn't been the greatest summer. When I say that, I want to first of all say I appreciate that, you know, we have summer. I wish it was a little bit warmer. It was 116 degrees in the valley on Saturday.
Man, you were driving in that.
What?
You were driving in that, right?
I was. I was driving back from a gig in Studio City, and which was a very interesting. It was a voiceover gig that I went to. It was to voice a character, let's put it that way. And it was an interesting studio that I went to because very professional and very great guys, and I really liked working with them. But at first I thought I was in the middle of that movie we saw the other night, Sisters of Death, you know, that Spanish colonial...
Yeah, it played Devil Dead. Looked like the devil lived there.
Yeah, it sort of looked like the devil. If it hadn't been right off of a main drag in Burbank, I would have thought I was in that movie. But... As soon as I was walking around in the back of this place, is there anyone here? Hello? And finally, I called, and they were, like, in the door next to me. So driving home from that, I hit a traffic jam. There was some kind of a sig alert, some sort of an accident, and that's fine. But it was 116 degrees, man. The place that I was at.
What part?
I was in the San Fernando Valley. Woodland Hills is where I was going through. And it was 116 degrees. Now, I got no problem with... I like the heat, personally. But I'd rather be laying by a pool or in a pool when it's happening. Or I'd like to be... One time I played golf.
Yeah, you ought to tell people, because that's insane.
Well, I played golf with a Swede one time out in the desert. And... he and I were out there, and, you know, as golf buddies would, we were out there one weekend, and I guess maybe there's some other friends, but it was just me and the Swede on this one. It was like a Friday. And we were having a few beers, and I said, you know, there's nobody out on that golf course. Let's go out and play around. He said, yeah. So we go out in the middle of the day. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you could die. You know that, don't you?
You can die if you are 80 years old and you're not getting enough. You know, there's a lot of, but no, I wasn't going to die. The first thing we did is we brought a lot of water with us, and the water was inside beer, but still, it's water.
No, you're going to die if you only drink the beer.
No, we drank water too. The water that was in the beer. No, we did. But we had beer, and of course we had beer. Do I look insane? I'm going to go out there. Oh, let's go out and play some golf. And it's 116 degrees and only drink water? No. So I know that sounds crazy to some people, but to other people, what I just said makes perfect sense. Man, I'm telling you, we went out there and it was one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life because, first of all, as I recall, I played really well. And secondly, there wasn't a soul out there. And thirdly, 116 degrees. There ain't much difference between 105 and 116, as far as I can tell. And as long as you keep hydrated, by that I mean you have water and you have sunblock, okay, and you don't, you know, overexert yourself. And golf, I would not call a sport that overexerts you, you know.
Well, are you riding around a golf cart or are you walking?
Riding around on a golf cart. You know, most of those courses out there in the desert, they ain't going to let you take a golf cart out on them. You have to, you know, you got to, they're not going to let you walk the course. They want you to be in a golf cart, and you have to stay on the path, because the reason why they tell you to take a golf cart is they don't want you walking and slowing up people. They want the play to move along, and golf carts means you move along. So having said all of that, it was a very enjoyable time. And that's the only time I think I ever liked being in 116-degree weather, or if I'm out there at the... you know, hanging around a pool. But that's where I was in the middle of that traffic jam. And, Jack, it was not a pleasant thing. All right. Why are we talking about that?
You're talking about it.
I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to our show. 877-876-PHIL. And our a couple of things to tell you. Our email address, not email address, our website is philhendryshow.com. And you can also tweet and Twitter and all that jazz, man, at twitter.com/realphilhendry. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendry. There's a Jim Carrey video out where he confesses his love for Emma Stone. And people are creeped out by it. But I thought it was a... pretty decent message. I don't know.
Yeah, play it.
Here is...
This is a message for Emma Stone. Emma, I just wanted to let you know that I think you're all the way beautiful. Not just pretty, but, you know, smart and kind-hearted. And if I were a lot younger, I would marry you. And we would have chubby little... freckle-faced kids. We'd laugh all day long, go camping and play Yahtzee and tell ghost stories by the fire. And the sex. And every day for the rest of your life, you would thank God that I was the appropriate age for you.
This is funny, man.
But I'm not.
But I'm not.
I'm 49.
I'm 49.
I have lines on my face, sometimes a little gray in my beard, and it takes me a lot longer to pee than it used to. These are the only discernible signs of aging that I can find so far. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know how I felt. I think you're pretty special. And I wish you continued success and artistic fulfillment. But most of all, I wish you love and contentment. That's all.
This is very funny.
Dude, it's creepy.
It ain't creepy at all. It's funny. It's Jim Carrey funny. It's pretty funny to me, anyway. Is he married?
I don't know.
I don't think he is. He couldn't possibly be. You couldn't possibly do that and be married, although, you know, like I said, it's Jim Carrey. So what's creepy about that? Well, people believe that there was something wrong with the guy. Let me read the story here. The Associated Press, his sense of humor has always been a little off-kilter, but the online crowd is aflutter about his latest ploy. The 49-year-old actor-comedian helped launch his website, JimCarreyTrueLife.com, Wednesday with a video love letter to the help star, Emma Stone. The 1 minute, 53-second video shows Carrey speaking into a handheld camera and professing his adoration for the 22-year-old actress. Some folks are calling it creepy. Only if you have no knowledge of what comedy is. If you have none, you call it creepy. Or you're just trying to call it creepy because you think people pay attention to you because you called it creepy. There ain't nothing wrong with it. He says he would marry her. The video had nearly 2,000 comments. According to whoever wrote this, if I made the same video, I'd get I'd have a restraining order put on me. One commenter said, Carrey said on Twitter that the video was a comedy routine. He ends the video, lips a quiver with emotion. His lips are not a quiver with emotion. His lips are a quiver with comedy, as in he's, you know, affecting it. Okay, so I'm glad we were able to put that one, to rest.
Well, no, wait a minute. What do you mean you put it to rest?
I put it to rest.
Yeah, but I mean, there are a lot of people who thought different about that.
What do you think?
Yeah, what you think it's real? I don't know. It could be.
Man, you don't know about the comedy and everything. If you do,
and you think you do?
I'm telling you, in this case, I agree with Bud. Look at it again, man. It's a joke. I mean, it's not a joke. I'm sure he probably thinks she's hot. And I think he probably would like to go out on a date with her, okay? But he knows that the only way to express that is in a, you know, in a kind of a thinly veiled comedic routine. And that's what he did.
Wait a minute, man. What does that mean?
It means he was being funny and everything.
It was not being funny. It wasn't funny to me.
It was funny to me. And funny to Bud.
He only said it funny to him after you said it funny.
No, I said it was funny. Well, I think I said it was funny. Well, maybe at the same time.
All right. Who cares who said it first? You got to watch it again. It's comedy, Jack. Maybe it's not the most uproariously funny thing in the world. I thought it was. It got laughs out of me. And I know what's funny. Believe me.
Why are you hitting yourself?
I don't know. My hand is just hitting my chest. Okay, that's enough, Phil. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our regular number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Maybe we'll take calls. Probably we won't. Lady Gaga performs in drag as male alter ego. I got to tell you something, man. The problem that we have with the world today is that with all of the social media, all the video sites, all of the places where one can comment, people feel the need to fill up all those spaces with commentary. Now, as we've often said on this show, there's a million different ways to deliver information, and there's very little information to deliver. Or if you want to put it a better way, there's all kinds of delivery systems, and nobody really has much to say of any real value. We are, in the words of Charles Bukowski, we are living in an age where God made lots of poets, but not enough poetry. So Jim Carrey puts a video up that is a perfectly normal, funny video for Jim Carrey. It's totally his humor. And because there's all of these boxes where you should make comments, everybody has to fill up the boxes with comments, and they want to, you know, say, well, that's kind of creepy. Well, anybody that really found that creepy, they have no sense of humor. They sure as hell don't know this guy's sense of humor, and they don't get it, and bug off, okay? Go back to whatever. Go back to the VMA Awards. All right, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Speaking of that, Lady Gaga performs in drag as her Mulder, speaking of not funny, as her male alter ego Joe Calderon, or Calderoni, at the 2011 MTV Video Music Awards. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio. I thought it was for funny Patriots, no, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And it's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Buddy, have you got that?
Yeah, I got cut two, or I mean cut three, two.
You don't have to tell me cut three, two. What, have you got the cut?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
All right, this is Lady Gaga, as we like to call her.
Lady Gag.
All right, don't get cute. Lady Gag. Like, that joke hasn't been done.
I haven't heard it in a while.
Anyway, here is Lady Gag and Lady Gaga, and here she is from last night. Just one of a couple of clips we have, so you can see how much she sucked. Here she goes.
Lady Gaga, she left me. She said it always starts out good, and then the guys, meaning me, I'm one of the guys, we get crazy. I did, I got crazy. But she's... crazy too, right? I mean, she's crazy!
Is that it? Okay, now here is the next one.
When she pees, it's like she covers her face.
When she pees?
She doesn't want me to see. Like, she can't stand to have one honest moment when nobody's watching.
Nah, when she pees.
I want her... to be real.
Okay, well, and that is really Lady Gaga speaking on behalf of many of us who can't be real, and we have our alter egos, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, she's all dressed up looking funny and looking funky and funny, man.
Yeah, she's pretty funky.
Okay, she's funky and fun, but that's a couple of cuts from last night's performance. And it was the VMA Awards, and it wasn't just celebrating great performances. It was hosting a few of them. Lady Gaga always is interesting to me because, obviously, the comparisons to Madonna are legitimate. Yeah, and Madonna at Madonna's most creative, there's a lot about her that reminds you of Lady Gaga. There's a lot about what Madonna did. You know, she went through her phases of different kinds of Madonnas. Remember when she was like the...
Yeah, she's like a virgin. She's all dressed up like a virgin and junk like that.
Yeah.
And then she did her conical brassiere period where she tried to look like... Wasn't she trying to look like Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, she's trying to look like Marilyn Monroe. And then another time she did that book, which is all... Well, she did.
No, she didn't. I saw that book. Remember that big book that came out in 92?
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah, and it had metal covers. I actually gave one of those away on the air. It wasn't cheap either. And I saw those pictures, and they were very sexual, but I would not call them pornographic. So now we have Lady Gaga, and how long before she's nude? Anybody want to make a bet?
No, I don't think she will.
Yeah, if she's smart, she won't.
If she's smart, she won't. And I agree. I agree. If Lady Gaga is smart, she will not get nude. But I don't know. She may be smarter than Madonna. Maybe the time has passed by where an artist can get, you know, artists where being naked, per se, is that much of a shock. But I'm telling you right now, I got money that says when she runs out of ideas, she'll get naked. Just like me, when I'm going to run out of ideas, I'm going to have to get naked.
What's that got to do with being in a magazine?
Well, that's true, you know. What I do is I just go to bed.
What are you talking about getting naked?
I'm joking around, okay? Don't push it. Anyway, Lady Gaga took the stage to open the show, but it wasn't the act that viewers might have been expecting. Dressed in drag as her male alter ego, Joe Calderon, Gaga gave a long monologue casting Calderon as a jilted lover left behind by his famous ex. Lady Gaga, she left me. Well, you heard the whole thing. No less than Queen guitarist Brian May took the stage to join the performer on the song You and I. Now, that was an interesting moment when Brian May, of formerly of Queen, came out and began to play. And somebody asked me, do you think he needed the gig? Well, did he need the gig? Obviously, she's a fan. And if Lady Gaga, somebody's at the height of their popularity, asks you to come out and play guitar, unless you can't stand what they do, you know.
Did you think she forced him to?
What do you mean forced him to?
I mean...
Yeah, what do you mean forced him to?
What do you think she made him?
How's she going to make him?
She just tell him, you better do it or else.
So what's she going to do?
What do you think she's going to do, man? She could just, you know, say...
What are you talking about, bud?
I don't know. Just say, you know, I'm Lady Gaga and you better do it or else.
What is she going to do? Have his thumbs broken or... You imagine Lady Gaga has Brian May's thumbs broken?
He plays like she already did.
Why don't you shut up? He plays like she already... I happen to think he's a very good guitar player in a kind of a band. All right.
You think Queen is average?
I didn't like him. All right, so don't get me off on talking about... I mean, not get me off, but...
Don't get you off.
Don't get me talking about... And while some people expected Gaga, who showed up at last year's VMAs wearing her now infamous meat dress, to pull a costume change, it never happened. When the VMA for Best Female Video went to Born This Way, Gaga got up still costumed as Calderon to accept the award. I'm so happy to accept the award tonight because Gaga's not here for Best Female Video, she said. Thank you so much to director Nick Knight, and I know if she were here tonight, she would want me to thank her little monsters. None of this was a surprise to the show's producers, who actually asked Gaga to open the awards ceremony after she shared her plans with them. I was just really excited. I was really happy because they asked me after I told them what I wanted to do. Gaga told MTV News, so it was even more exciting because I knew that it was based off the performance idea and MTV believing in me as an artist. No, MTV believes in you as a potential money machine.
Hey, yeah.
First things first, you know, Gaga. But what's the difference? If they believe in you as an artist, if they believe in you as a money machine, it's the same thing. If you're a great artist, you're a money machine, at least in the minds of some. So she said that someone who might not have been briefed so thoroughly, Britney Spears. Gaga, as Calderon, presented the superstar singer, age 29, with the Big Deal Video Vanguard Award, but their interaction was a bit odd. When Spears first arrived on stage, the two did a cutesy act of almost kissing, which Spears then shrugged off, saying... She's already done that. Remember her VMA kiss with Madonna in 2003. What was weird was when Gaga, Calderon, never backed off, crowding Spears at the podium as she gave her acceptance speech and then introduced the next performer, Beyonce. Say what you will about Gaga's performance, but she never broke character and she certainly made a lasting impression. And that's that. We'll be right back here on the world famous...
Don't you think it was good?
No, I didn't think it was good.
She made a lasting impression.
She made a lasting impression, yeah. I hadn't thought about her until I read this news story, so. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You seem depressed.
I am very depressed. We'll be right back. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. I'm fine. I think.
You know, Phil, my mentor.
Hang up on him.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
What about it?
You're playing all that N-word, man.
It's Dr. Dre. I happen to like it.
You really do like it?
Yes, I do like Dr. Dre, and I'm not going to explain to you. You know, get out of here, will you, Robert? Bug off.
What are you talking about? He says the N-word.
I don't care if he does say the N-word. I like it. I listen to it. Okay? Get out of here, man.
Yeah, but you don't understand that music.
Yeah, you're right. I don't understand it. I'm older than you guys. I've been through a lot in this world. I don't need to explain myself to either one of you jackballs, black or white. Back off. okay?
I say nothing about it. Just wonder why you listen to it.
Because I like it. Because it's angry. Because it's pissed off. Because maybe I'd like to talk that way.
Yeah, so you want to call a guy N-word.
I'm going to smack you in about 5 seconds. All right, Simon Cowell wants to freeze his body after he dies. All right.
Yay!
That's fantastic! Now, I saw this thing on the tube, just to give you a little context. There is a marvelous, marvelous HBO documentary that's currently, I believe it's currently on demand. And you, if you go over to your, if you go over to your, and by the way, everybody has Dish Network and everyone has DirecTV, and I don't. And there are a couple of reasons why I don't. One of which, I'm too lazy. I used to have the satellite dish. I had it all, man. And I have not, and I've moved to another house, and I don't yet. I just, you know, I'm lazy. But everybody was tweeting about the VMAs last night, and I was asking, where are you guys watching this, man? Because I don't see anything having to do with any VMAs. And it turned out everybody had either Dish or they had DirecTV. So Time Warner, you guys, let me tell you something, Time Warner. Your Time Warner is almost up.
You're going to get the Dish, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah, I am. And I'll probably get it in time for, you know, so I can absorb most of the NFL package. I don't know. But I couldn't watch it live because I was on cable and they didn't have, I guess I hadn't purchased the East Coast feed. I don't know what my problem was, but I didn't have it. But I did watch not too long ago. I thought it was a really interesting and terrific documentary on Ted Williams. Now, Ted Williams was a baseball player. Some of you, I'm sure even the younger people, you know the name Ted Williams, probably, and here's why you know the name, because you think his head got frozen somewhere, right? That's horse dung. That never happened, okay? However, first of all, you have two things, lots of information and really stupid people, and what does that amount to? Misinformation. Nobody knows what anybody's talking about, and so people have, like, the wrong impression. And this guy was talking, somebody who is a big admirer of Ted Williams. He was a sports writer. He said, it's too bad that Ted Williams to an entire generation is a punchline, that they know Ted Williams more as this dude who supposedly had his head frozen and was not a great baseball player. And that's really true. Number one, Ted Williams never had his head frozen. Can we just, you know?
Well, yeah, but how do you know for sure? I hear they've got it in a freezer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you heard. They've got it in a freezer. Now, are you listening to what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Are you listening to the truth? Because this was a member of his family. This was a person that was an attorney for the family. This was an individual that represented the cryogenic institute or institution. And in general, the information imparted that was truthful was that there is no Ted Williams head frozen anywhere. Do you understand?
Yeah, I do, but you don't. They may be covering up.
Oh, my God, man.
Well, how do you know, man? I mean, how do you know they ain't lying and trying to cover it up?
You know, Robert, first of all, you have to ask yourself, and this is the intellectual laziness that's afoot these days. If you want to believe, for instance, you know the guy that was following Buzz Aldrin around and saying, swear on the stack of Bibles, would you swear on this Bible that you were on the moon? Remember that?
Yeah.
That's what passes for intellectual curiosity. If that ass that did that had any brains, or actually had any intestinal fortitude, it's easy enough to check out whether or not we were on the moon. There's radio communication. There are any number of, if you're out to prove a supposition or to prove something, as we've often said, the empirical method is to prove it wrong. So, the only way to prove your point, which is that the moon landing was faked, okay, is to go out and prove that it actually happened. That's what you have to do. If you want to prove something, you have to prove its opposite.
I don't do it.
That's the way scientists do it. That is the intellectually honest way. If you are convinced, and you can apply that to anything, and when you do apply that to anything, you see how really gutless and how unscientific many people are. If you want to prove that we did not land on the moon because you don't believe we landed on the moon, right?
Yeah.
The only way that is scientifically acceptable, and this is the scientific method that goes back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the only scientifically acceptable way of going about making that, proving that, is by proving the opposite. Prove that we landed on the moon. Prove we landed on the moon. Okay? If you cannot, now you are... And the last thing, the laziest thing you do is to tell a guy to swear on a Bible, you know. So that guy sort of went away. He didn't prove anything. Now along comes Ted Williams. And there you are, Robert, telling me, well, how do you know? And
I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying I want to believe his head that they froze it up. But I'm just wondering, you know.
You're wondering what, man? You're wondering what? How do you know that that whole frozen head thing didn't start with some guy telling a joke?
Yeah, what do you mean tell a joke? They said his head was in a... that they froze it.
Who said that? Go ahead, tell me, who said that?
Well...
Yeah, you don't even know. You know who said it. So, probably it was the idea that anybody would cry... And here... And this is why I want to say this, folks. The documentary I saw was so interesting. Ted Williams, and being a Californian, you know, and I say this with pride, being a Californian, I never knew how many great athletes came from California, but specifically how many of the truly great baseball players come from California. I had no idea that Ted Williams was from San Diego. Ted Williams was born and raised in San Diego, and in point of fact, lived in a terrible home. His mother was into the... It's very weird. His father was gone. It was him and his brother and a mother that was devoted to the Salvation Army morning, noon, and night. This woman did not pay any attention to her boys. She was out trying to save souls for the Salvation Army. Sounds to me like she was a little crackers, like there was something off about her. And Williams later in life said it was a horrible home to live in. He said it was a filthy mess, a pigsty. And he went out and he played baseball. His brother, on the other hand, got in trouble with the law. And it was unfortunate. His brother went down a path that led to jail and to running up against the police. Whereas Ted Williams went out, he played baseball and he found some release. He found talent. He found he had talent for it. And he played ball. And the documentary follows his life from the San Diego Padres.
He played for the Padres?
He played for the minor league San Diego Padres, the Pacific Coast League Padres. He played for them, and then eventually found his way to Boston, and he had a career in Boston that was obviously, it is legendary, and obviously any Red Sox fan knows the name Ted Williams and honors the name Ted Williams, but also it was very controversial. Ted Williams had his run-ins with the fans. He had his run-ins with the press. Ted Williams, you got to understand, if you ever read Jim Boughton's book, Boughton talks about Ted Williams standing in a batting cage. Ted Williams would say this. He would say, my name is Ted Williams. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Bang! He'd knock one into the seats.
He's talking to himself.
He's talking to anybody that's there. He's talking to anybody that's there. He's in a batting cage. He's saying, my name is Ted Williams. I'm the greatest hitter in baseball. Bang! He'd knock one out. Then he'd say things like this. Here comes Jim Bunning. You know who Jim Bunning is?
That guy, he's in a Congress.
He's in Congress now. He's in Congress now. But Ted Williams, he would say, here comes Jim Bunning with that crappy little slider of his. Does he really think he's going to get me out? Bang! You know? So this is the way he talked. And this is the man that he was. And this was the ego he had. And, quite frankly, he backed it up. Now the man is in later years, and guess what? For whatever reason, not just Ted Williams, but his daughter, his son, his family is interested in science. And they're interested in this idea of cryogenic freezing. And so sure enough, when Ted Williams passed on, his body was remanded to or given over to, whatever, remanded.
It was arrested.
Yes, it was arrested by the cryogenic facility. No, it wasn't. It was, you know, they gave it over to this cryogenic facility where it is now frozen. His body, not his head, his body. When they asked his daughter, who is a, I think she's a very good spokesperson for the family and for her father. And she said, you want to know something? I'm going to lay it out to you real straight, guys. My family is interested in science. We have all shared this interest down through the years. My father, myself, my brother, our family. And that's all I'm going to tell you guys. That's all you have a right to know. It's none of your business. So take it and stick it up your you-know-what. Thank you and good afternoon, gentlemen.
She didn't say that, did she?
Just about. Just about. She said, you know, this is our business. This is our family's business. Stick it up your you-know-what. And by the way, yes, we did land on the moon. Thank you and have a very pleasant good evening.
She really say that?
No, man. I'm telling you what, I'm paraphrasing. So now we have Simon Cowell, the former American Idol judge, famous for, quote, freezing contestants in their tracks with his biting critiques. Now he says he wants to freeze more than that, his body, after he dies. In his recent interview with GQ magazine, Cowell explains why he'd like to have his body cryonically frozen. I think I probably used the wrong term, cryogenically. Cryonically frozen. It's an insurance policy. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does work, I'll be happy. If it's possible, and I think it will be, why not have a second crack? Does that sound crazy? I think it's a good idea. I have a feeling that if I don't do it now, I could regret this in 300 years.
That's pretty funny, man.
I have a feeling that if I don't do it now, I could regret it in 300 years' time. That's enough to say it again. Setting aside the moral, ethical, and practical considerations of freezing someone's body in case medical research can ever find a way to restore life, what kind of legal complications can this cause for the family? And then the writer goes into his version of what he thinks is funny, which we will bypass. On a more serious note, wanting one's body to be cryonically frozen can have more serious legal implications for the family. Remember what happened when famed baseball slugger Ted Williams passed away in 2002? His story is one we share in our book, Trial and Error's Famous Fortune Fights. When Williams died at the age of 83, one of his daughters wanted to follow his final wishes, as spelled out in the 96 will. The will stated that he wanted his body cremated and his ashes spread off the coast of Florida, where the waters run deep. Sounds like a pleasant final resting place. Williams' two other children, from a later marriage, however, had a different idea. They wanted his body frozen and stored. Why? They felt that that those were his true wishes, based on a grease-stained note from 2000 that Williams and those two children signed while he was in the hospital. The note said they wanted a chance to be together again in the future in case medical science could bring them back to light. So, I do recall now there is a daughter that is fighting that. Well, that, you know, but again, like the kid said, It's something that's a family business, got nothing to do with you slobs, so go bother Simon Cowell. All right, we'll be right back here on The Phil Hendry Show, closing things out here. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. You can get a podcast of tonight's show. You can look at the video cast of our show yet again if you haven't seen it already. Wisconsin Clinic may have exposed patients to bloodborne disease. That sounds funny. We'll get into it, and Indiana vouchers prompt thousands to change schools. That also sounds funny. We'll be back with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
On the homepage, you guys see that Little Debbie picture of Phil as Little Debbie, and that was done by Amanda Green, who's a great musician and artist in Miami. And I don't know why I've got it on the homepage. It makes me look like, you know,
you look like some kind of old man that wants to dress as a girl. Man, what are you laughing at?
The way you said that, man, you sounded like you had a speech impediment. Go to the guru.
What do you do?
Okay. It would have been funnier. Well, actually, it couldn't have been funnier. The way you said it was funny. All right.
Yeah, you're making fun of a guy with an impediment.
Oh, I'm not making fun of a guy with an impediment. You're going too fast. Slow down. You look like a guy. You know, you're going to not be able to say it right. All right, couple of things. What happened to that story, man? Oh, Indiana vouchers prompt thousands to change schools. What? What? Weeks after Indiana began the nation's broadest school voucher program, lots of broads, thousands of students have transferred from public to private schools. Oh, are they in for a surprise? Causing a spike in enrollment at some Catholic institutions that were only recently on the brink of closing for lack of pupils. Now, let me explain something, because I went to Catholic school my whole life. All of you people that are transferring over to Catholic schools, number one, you ain't got nothing to say about nothing, mom and dad. You understand that? You have nothing to say about anything. Now, here is where, and this is very, this is a very real thing that I'm about to tell you. Here is where you have legal rights when it comes to a private institution. If they have represented themselves in a certain way, you have every right in the world to hold them to that. However, beyond that, you have no rights. You can take your kid out of there, and of course they're not allowed to abuse the children. They're not allowed to break the law. They're not allowed to criminally treat these children. But beyond that, if they say that, you know, the kids are going to go to Mass at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be at 3:30, and the nun said this, and the principal said that, and here is the curriculum, and thus and so, and here's the uniform that they have to wear, you got nothing to say about it. And I hope that a lot of these people that are, you know, fleeing the public schools to go to a private institution where they think that the Catholics are going to kick ass on their kids and give them this quality education and turn them into fantastic people, well, it's very true. I mean, look at the guy that I became. Well,
yeah.
There's other examples, and so that's a great thing, but there's a downside, mom and dad. You ain't got nothing to say. That's right. Because if you think they're just kicking ass on your kids, think again. They're going to say to you this, 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 and this. Well, wait a minute. We don't give a damn what you think. How do you feel about that one? You go ahead and sue. You go ahead and waste all your money. The only rights you have is to hold the school to what it represents itself as. I'll give an example of that. There was a private school that was outlawing certain attitudes, certain clubs that had opinions about women, okay? They were clubs that were started by men, and they had opinions about the women's liberation movement or the women's rights movement, however, as if there's such a thing, I mean, as if there should be such a thing, but nonetheless. And the school outlawed it. The school very famously outlawed it because it's a very liberal institution. And not only that, I mean, they felt it was not, it did not behoove the image of the school. But the students turned around and sued, and they sued on the basis of this. In the catalog for the school, it says, we tolerate a wide diversity of opinion. And we encourage a wide diversity of opinion. And we encourage dialogue. And what? Right? Just that paragraph there. A judge ruled, well, frankly, they have a case because you guys said this and that and something else. And you didn't come through in this particular position, so guess what? Your ass owes money. So the private institutions, whether they're high schools or grade schools or colleges, must adhere to their charter, to the express charter. Otherwise, we'll stand on the cliffs waiting for Cornwallis and...
out of time.
And we're out of time. All right. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. Take a look at these new beautiful baseball caps. That's right. We got the ball caps in with the Phil Henry insignia. Hit the shop up in the next couple of days. They'll be in there, baby. And, of course, we're on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhenry. And we wish all of you a very, very pleasant good evening here from the El Pacifico. And, you know, like, hang with us tonight. We'll be back. What else we got going on, man?
Just, you know, school coming up.
School's coming up, and I hate to say it, so go out and get your school books and crap, and make sure you get your backstage pass so you can hear our podcast the next day, because you can't stay up late listening to the show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Good night.
Phil Henry.